you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. That is a strong ding, and that means it's going to be a great episode.
It was.
That's
it was good.
Sign up. It was a good one.
Start.
Here, as always, with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello. How is everyone doing today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
All right.
today's guest, very excited about, a comedian, actor, writer, Sam Morril. Welcome to the show, Sam.
I don't even, am I an actor? I don't, probably not. I've only really played myself, I think, and stuff. I played stand-up comic in Joker. I played Sam on Billions, and I think that's it. So I don't, and I think I played like Burnout in a couple Amy Schumer sketches. So that's like, I don't know if I'm not like a real actor. I'm not like Stella Adler trained or anything.
I think if you like say predetermined lines on camera, it makes you an actor.
All right, I'll take it. Shit.
There you go.
And that ding you did made me sad because it made me miss hotels. I'm thinking like, man, it's been so long since I've been in a hotel, and it's like it makes you, even like you're like, fuck, I long for La Quinta. That's how bad this pandemic is, you know? What can you do?
Oh no, this show is gonna really bum you out then, because the name of the show is The Thing Is, and we hit the ding whenever it comes up in conversation, the name of the show. So we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Let me see. Okay, so just a couple things before I get into the segments. I am very excited that gyms are now open in New York City. During the entire quarantine, I have done literally nothing to be active. Like, I have sat in this spot in front of this computer for like 5 months. And I feel like at the very beginning, because I had just started getting back into the gym right before the quarantine started, and if they hadn't closed the gyms, I would be killing it right now. But yeah. I've lost so many months. And then I feel like the first couple months, you're like, oh, I feel like my muscle's going away, I feel weak. But then after a while, you forget that it's a thing. And my first day back at the gym, I felt like a 100-year-old woman.
Yeah, Erin just went back after, I guess, the same amount of time. And it was getting rough there for a little while.
She's
back at it, you know? She hates them. You have to wear the mask, though, right, where you go?
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually the first time I got laser temperature taken walking into a place. It's the first time it's happened. But it's like they, like, bombard you, kind of. Like, as soon as I went in the door, someone, like, came close and, like, kind of, like, pushed me back out the door. And then, like, laser temperatured me.
It scares you, doesn't it, when they do
that? Yeah.
Because even though you're like, I'm good. It's kind of like as a guy, like, getting Me Too'd, you're like, I think I'm good. But then something comes, you're like, all right, shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, I'm like, I know I'm a 98.6 or whatever. But then you go in, you're like, oh, boy, I hope.
Because I'm doing it
before gigs are like gunning. Like, I'm there with another person. What if I'm like a 90, if I'm on a 99.6, do I have to just be like, I guess we're driving back together and you're going to get COVID. You know what I mean? Like, what do we do?
Yeah, I don't know. Because like, what if you like walked a little quickly there and it like raises your body temperature a little, then what happens?
Right.
But I'm sure they give you a window.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
I think, but also it's asymptomatic. It's not even, that's not even like a guaranteed. Also, if you're feeling sick, I guess to weed out assholes. Because if you know you have a fever and you know you feel like shit and you're going to a gym, you are an asshole.
Yeah, because they also ask you that, like, have you had any symptoms? And it's like, do you mean aside from coughing, sore throat, not being able to breathe? Other than that, perfectly fine. But and then like, have you traveled out of the state, blah, blah, whatever. I don't even think they're listening.
I had food poisoning yesterday, so my head was like a little. I knew it was food poisoning, but I still, you know, it's. I'm an idiot. I'm classic, like, annoying. Like, I had to do a gig with Joe List yesterday, and I order this Chinese place, and they have this thing called three pepper chicken. It's like the hottest chicken dish, and it's like, I know I'm gonna get diarrhea for like 2 days, but it's worth it. That's how good it is. But I haven't done it in a while because I'm just scared to take any out of the. Like, it's like, even when they say like sugar, like, be careful for sugar when you're out, be careful for alcohol, be careful, anything that lowers your immune system. And I'm just like, I've been doing so many gigs, I don't want to get it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Every single time that I've like gone out and been around people, I have drank a lot. Just the worst possible.
And there's always someone who doesn't play by the rules, and it's always the person I trust the least. The person's like, oh, calm down. I'm like, you're the fucking person that has it. I know it. The person that like wants to whisper shit to me. Why are we whispering? I don't want you whispering pre-pandemic. You know?
That's a good point, yeah. I've had like Lewis talk over my shoulder and be like spraying, just spraying. And I'm like, of all the people that I want around me spraying and talking over my shoulder, it's you.
Great. The guy who doesn't wear a mask has a lisp and he's talking 2 inches from my face. This is great.
So, yeah, I'm happy about the gyms. Now I feel like I can at least not feel like the grossest thing in the world, but it's like the simplest things that she asked me to do. Like, it's like, you know, sitting on the bench and then just like moving your legs from one side to the other to like get like your lower abdominal muscle. By like the third set, I couldn't even lift my legs to do it. And I'm like, any human being in the world could easily do this. And I just, my legs are just like atrophied. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all out of shape, man. That's my favorite. That's like the hot workout. That's the Sharon Stone, they call it. You know, that's, I play basketball like alone. I just go alone and shoot around with a mask on. And it's so depressing. I'm like, I know it's a bad workout. Cause like, you know, it's a bad workout when the AirPods stay in, you know, when you're not even like any good gym rat has like the wraparound headphones. And I'm like, I'm not even agitating these headphones. It's pathetic, but what are you going to do?
I mean, if you're breaking a little bit of a sweat, then you're probably ahead of most people.
I know. Sadly, that's the truth, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, that is the sad truth.
I'm surprised I haven't done Chinese food since it started. Yeah. I don't know if that's like a thing racist. That everyone else... Yeah, a little bit, maybe.
No, it's I mean, it's one of my go-tos, man. And I love Chinese food. It's probably my favorite food.
We also we don't have Manhattan-level Chinese food around me either. So I'm not really missing much. So it's like all risk, no reward, I feel like.
That's a good point. You know, any Chinese place that's like, you know, like serving like a side dish with fries or something, you're like, all right, may not be worth it. General Tso's with French fries. You're like, this might not be authentic. I don't know.
Every Chinese place in like my neighborhood at the beginning of the quarantine actually shut down. Like it was one of the restaurants you couldn't order from for a long time.
Damn.
They're not stupid people. They know. Yeah. They're like, these fucking gringos aren't going to come by here anytime soon.
They're not stupid, but at the same time, you know how bad a pandemic has to be for fucking Chinese people to stop
That's
working?
That's true. Yeah.
Like they're the most, they work, Chinese hours, it's like quickest turnaround, quickest delivery.
They got their four-year-old stirring the wonton soup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maddie, you were talking shit about Erin, your girlfriend, getting gross during the quarantine. What have you done to work out?
I've been doing DDP yoga.
Really? We've never talked about this in the show.
I feel like I have, but it's possible that I haven't.
Yeah, that guy's amazing, man. He's awesome.
You do it every day? Are you good at it?
No, I haven't done it. I took the past couple weeks off because I was having a mental breakdown. But I did it again today, and it was something. I did it back-to-back. Fat burner 2.0 and a red hot core for anyone in the know.
Big Jay Okerson turned me on to DDP yoga. It's pretty cool.
It's not bad. Look, it's something you can just throw on the fucking TV. You know, you're in your living room, and you just do something at least.
I've been doing Chris Benoit Zumba. It's not as good.
That's why Sam's alone now.
Before we get into the segments, I'm curious about one thing that doesn't really settle into any of the segments, so we'll start with this. I saw a clip that you posted on Twitter, Sam.
Yes.
And it was just a very short thing, so it leaves a lot out, which I'm dying to hear about.
Here's the problem. Okay, I'll tell the whole story.
Okay.
So what happened was I'm an idiot. I miss stand-up. I'll do it for like – I've kind of opened the door in my Instagram stories like, you've got a roof, you've got a fucking – you've got a mic and an amp. I'll come.
Not even a roof.
Yeah, well, this was supposed to be on a roof, this show.
Okay.
And it got moved. Now you go to certain parts of town, and there are, like, turf wars. Like, you go to Bed-Stuy or Bushwick, and there's, like, turf wars. There'll be people trying to do their comedy show, and then there's some other kids who are like, fuck you, we're blasting our music, you know? Get out of here. So it turns into, like, you know, do the right thing-esque. And basically, I wanted to do the show, but I was, like, a little drunk when this happened. I had had a few drinks. I was hanging at the Comedy Cellar with Liz and all the Cellar people and Mackie and Phil and Rachel Feinstein and all those people. And the address just said, like, 66 Bleecker or something. or maybe it was, like, 86 Bleecker. I don't know. And then so I get there, and they're like, I'm like, there's no whatever Bleecker this is. And he goes, oh, it's in Brooklyn. I was like, well, you gotta fucking say that it's Bleecker. It's like an iconic Manhattan street. So I'm just like a little buzz, and I'm with Rachel Feinstein. I'm like, can we still make it? And he goes, I'll stall. So I just hop in a cab. We get there. It seems like a mess. Like, everything about it seems like a mess. They've moved it from the rooftop to some woman's backyard because some kids were like, fuck you, we're having a party on the roof, so they couldn't get up there, which is
how
like...
How big of a backyard is it?
It was big enough. I mean, you could kind of tell by the video. It's you know, there was probably like only 15, 20 people back there, but shit, I'll do that every once in a while. Like, I want to tell jokes every night. This is what I do. Like, I love stand-up. Mm-hmm. I'm not into just for like... I'm not like, you know, trying to highball people in a pandemic. I'm trying to get on stage and I'm trying to get anywhere at this point.
But, patch of grass.
Yeah, patch of grass. It's hilarious. It's like we're competing against other forms of entertainment though now, because you'll be like telling a joke, and then I did a gig on Saturday and there's fireworks going behind me. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I'm just going against anything. I'm in the wild, you know? So I get to the gig. The woman is... whose backyard it is, she's taking cover charges from people and then heckling every comic and getting just completely shit-faced. She was like a caricature of like this like leftist extremist, you know, you know, blue hair, tatted up, and just angry
as
hell.
Describing me.
but there, you have like a bubbliness. Like, you have you're easy to be around. She was not that. You're also, you would know better than to heckle every comic. So I'm on, it's like the one show I don't videotape. I've been fucking videotaping every show just because this is weird. I want footage of this. I want, you know, this is like, I go back and forth between like performing outdoors in strangers' places. This is an adventure. This is punk rock. And then other days I'm like, I am disturbed to be doing this. So I get there. I'm like, fuck it, I'm already here. Rachel goes on stage and she's like, she's nuts. She's ruining the show. And of course, she's screaming about like, you know, all kinds of stuff. She's like, the patriarchy. And Rachel was like, she was like, the patriarchy, like, you're taking our money. You're not like, you're the problem, not the patriarchy. There's nothing to do with the patriarchy.
But, is she also just like saying random things, or does it apply at all to what the sets are?
It seemed a little random. She was trolling me, and I kind of – the bummer was it's like the one show I didn't record, and I had so many fucking put-downs on her. I had so many good burns on her, and of course – so I'm saying throughout my set, someone take a camera phone because I want this, and no one's doing it until the very end. Someone takes out like an audio recorder. So there's some footage of my audio, but it's like a little out of context, so it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. And it's just me just kind of burying her. It was just kind of, so I don't think she would have rushed the stage if I wasn't, you know, just killing her in her own backyard, but she was drunk. It's such a symbol of where we are as a society, where it's like people on Twitter immediately like, well, fuck you. It's not, there's no nuance. There's no conversation. I was trying to like have a fun back and forth with her. And then she was just trolling me. So I just started hammering her, and then it's killing. So she came on stage, grabbed the mic. In the footage, you can see people are booing her, and that was that. You know, I just kind of was like, I'm not going to fight her. It's her backyard. I'm not going to fight her in general. I mean, fight her for the mic is what I meant. But I'm not going to put up like an argument. I'm just like, this is embarrassing and humiliating, and you can have it. It's yours. I mean, it's not exactly like an ideal setup. I'm going on like super late in the show, and I'm doing all new stuff, and it started slow, but I started slowly doing pretty well, and then with her, I think the whole crowd hated her, and she's just getting crushed. This is her backyard, so I get why she wanted me off.
Is it like her friends that are there, or it's like strangers?
No, this comic Gio put the show together, and it was his people. He put the show on.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But okay, so it wasn't this, but it was this woman that was like throwing the event, or she was just like an attendee.
I don't know. It's weird to say like throwing the event. I guess it was her backyard, so she, I guess, technically was hosting it, but she was also ruining it. So,
weird.
It's
I'm
weird to say
she, some sense of it.
She wasn't much of a host, you know, shit. But you know, that's what it is now. To perform in a pandemic, it's always been a roll of the dice, you know. So now it's extra scary a little bit. And look, I do have male privilege to get to show up at strangers' homes. Female comics are not doing that, so I got to say, like, shit, I would not advise them to either. This is definitely. I mean, I usually bring a friend. If I just think of like. I think I'm just going to like walk onto someone's roof and they're going to put a gun to my head, be like, give me your fucking money. And I'm like, yeah, I deserve this probably. You know, I just picture getting thrown off a roof like Martin Sheen in The Departed or something, you know?
What happened when you, so she took the mic from you and you said like, I'm just going to leave. And then I heard like some members of the audience that were like, kind of like trying to encourage you to stay. What happened after, like, that clip stopped? Did you just leave?
I left, and there was a big pack of comics outside her place, and she was just screaming nonsense, and I just was like, yeah, I mean, I want to perform, but I'm not going to, like, wrestle someone for a microphone. This is getting to a sad place, you know?
Oh, God, what a nightmare.
I wish I had it, because I would love to someday just put together all the footage of this and put something out, because it's so funny to me. It's just so ridiculous. Like, we were already up against so much as entertainers. You know, it's already such a crapshoot. And now we are literally fighting for outdoor space. Like, it's... And it's hilarious, because I think I saw someone like Kenny DeForest tweeted, like, how in L.A. there's all this outdoor space and so few shows. In New York, all we have are, like, sidewalks. And we're like we got a show on 47th Street. He posted something like that. And I was like, that's so... true, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, I haven't been to like any like makeshift shows like on rooftops or anything, but at like I've been to like the Stress Factory or the Stand, and I feel like everything has been so received so well because people are just dying for the comedy. And also in a time where everyone is recording everything, it's of course this thing that you really wanted that no one really has footage of.
The one time I never want people to record, but then I was telling them, take out your phone and video this, and people, I think they thought I was kidding, but you know, yeah, most shows I've done have been great. I've been doing so many gigs and they've all been outdoors and distanced and all that. And it's been generally just great. And this weird feeling of like, man, we are on this adventure right now. But then every once in a while you will have, I mean, shit, I would have bad indoor shows every once in a while. So you're telling me there's not going to be a few fucking nuts? I was saying, like, I used to have these high standards for where I'd perform. It would have to be like low ceilings, high security. I'd be like, hey, there's got to be a nutritional item on the menu, you know? And now I'm literally like, yeah, I'll do your fucking parking lot. Why not, you know?
Does this change how you look at that, of selecting where to work?
Not really. I mean, I think you just got to go in knowing that some of them aren't going to be ideal, and it is what it is. You know, I wasn't even mad when I got off. I thought it was like, I do get annoyed. I mean, look, there is a certain type of audience that is like very annoying, and every once in a while you see them all like mashed into one person, and you're like, well... that's going to happen sometimes. And you just gotta, it bums me out because I just feel like we already in our country don't really communicate peacefully in any way. Opposing sides are already very, just going for the jugular, and there's no nuance. And there's no real news anymore, because it feels like every news is like one side is just showing violent mobs breaking stores and the other is just showing police lynchings, and it's all horrible, obviously. But then every person is just getting angry, so they're just more and more in their own bubble, and we get more and more disconnected. And that's kind of why I love New Yorkers, is because we are forced to be around each other, whereas you go to other places that are more suburban, you spend most of the time in the car. You spend most of the time you know, going places, maybe listening to these voices. But then when you're in New York, even if you're not talking to people, you're around people, and there is a value to seeing a human's face. I think it makes you less of an asshole when you see the impact. You're actually, you are more of an asshole on a computer as opposed to when you're in someone's general company. This woman, of course, excluded, but you know.
Good point. I always like to at least try to understand like where another human being's brain is coming from. Joey, who is one of our producers, said in the chat that that they used her backyard because, as you said, after the roof got canceled. So yeah. I'm wondering if maybe she didn't want it to be in her backyard and they talked her into it and she's like, oh, I hate comedy, or I'm creating a whole storyline in my brain about
it. I don't
it.
Know.
And then she was just out to ruin it, but she was making money. I don't know. She was making money from it.
Yeah. I think also she might have just been really drunk. I don't know if she was like, if we need to make her this thoughtful, like I don't know. I mean, I think she just was shit-faced on White Claw and, you know, what are you going to do?
A lot of White Claw. Okay, we're going to move on. I didn't realize that we went through so much of the show already. We're going to get into the first segment, which is for you to tell a story about your worst date experience or your weirdest sexual experience.
Worst date, this was a bit of mine on an album, my first album, but like it's a true story and probably my mom's least favorite bit of mine. But I went on a date a long time ago and I mean, this is a crazy story. I went on a date with a girl. It started out like very casual. We had drinks in Brooklyn. I just had a breakup. It was probably like 7 years ago or something, maybe more. And I don't, maybe around that. And then I met her on a dating site. She was beautiful. She, very attractive woman and like even prettier than the pictures. And I got pretty drunk on the date. She didn't drink that much. I like had a few. And I remember I like grabbed her and kissed her outside in like a cold New York winter. And she was just like, oh my, I didn't expect that. Like she was so proper. And and then I never heard from her again. You know, I remember I was drunk. I was like, you better fucking expect it. And I was like, I probably deserve to get ghosted after that horseshit. But months go by, I never hear from her. And I was just like, well, it is what it is. I'm an idiot, you know? And then she texts me, out of the blue, where are you? And I just was like, I'm in Union Square. What's up? And she goes, I want to see you and I want to get freaky with you. And I was like, all right. I don't know. I just wrote, oh, yeah. I don't know how to respond to that. And she writes, do you want to get your dick sucked or not? You know, so, you know, I was at lunch with my parents. I had to excuse myself. Because in my head, I was like, this is not her. She's such a sweet, proper girl. I don't buy that it's her.
You have to find out.
Yeah, I have to find out. So I made a phone call and I was like, what is going on? She said, look, I've had a bad week at work. I just want to fuck you. And I said, okay. And I remember like, this is part of the bit. What I would say was, which is also unfortunately true, is I had to tell my mom, I was like, I got to get out of here. This audition just came up. And my mom said, go get him, Sammy. And I was like, ugh, I hate myself. So I remember going, and I think earlier, before I lunched with my parents, I was working on this show with Rachel Feinstein, who's a good friend of mine, and I told her I was doing it. I was like, hey, this is a little shady, and she's like, don't do it. I'm like, I'm going to. I'm sorry. But I was like, here's the address, just in case. Like, it felt a little weird to me, just in case anything weird happens, in case this is like a New York Daily News story and I get murdered. But
you're just like me. I always think I'm going to get murdered.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
I mean,
funny.
I'm an idiot. I was just not trusting the situation because it was in a different apartment than when I dropped her off. So I was like, that's weird. But then, you know, it's like you do that New York thing where you're like, well, people sublet, right? So I go to her place and I'm nervous. It's during the day. So I said, hey, can you just come down and have a drink with me in a bar first? And she goes, just come upstairs. I have scotch. And I was like, just meet me in the lobby at least. And she's like, all right. So it's a nice doorman building in Brooklyn. And she comes down. She looks beautiful. And we go upstairs. And I remember just thinking like, wow, this is like a weird apartment. It's not decorated. The only thing, it's like one of those luxury apartments, but the only thing in it is a couch and a bottle of scotch. And I thought that was like, it looked like a porno set. So whatever. So then we start making out. She starts going down on me. And I was like, all right, this is, I guess, kind of cool. And then she just stopped in the middle and said, I hope my roommate doesn't catch us. And I was like, yeah, me too. I also hope that doesn't happen. And then she goes, no, I want him to catch us. And I was like, all right. So obviously that's when I should have left, but I didn't. I'm a fucking moron. So we go to her bedroom and she just keeps doing that. And then the door swings open. The dude is standing right there and he's just staring at me. And he's fucking, like, he's been there the whole time. I've been set up. So I'm, like, freaked the fuck out. I'm kind of like, what is going on? And he's just staring at me. She's going down to me. And in a moment of panic, I just turn to him and I go, can I help you? I just said, can I help? And like, can I get you anything? And I just panicked. He goes, are we going to do this or what? And I was like, oh, no. Been a misunderstanding, like, totally. Just walking toward me, very nerve-wracking. And, yeah, I just was like, there's been a mistake. I kind of looked at her like, what the fuck? And she just like shrugged like, yeah, this is what I was doing. Like she didn't seem to be apologetic at all. And I panicked. I remember I left. I was so scared. I didn't, because I'm like, are they going to rob me? I couldn't make sense of it in the moment because I'm not like a kinky guy. So I was like, I don't understand. But I'm like, oh, it's some fucking kink. It's like a thrill. But I didn't put that together till later. In the moment, I'm like, am I being robbed? I don't get it. So I pulled my pants up. I fucking grabbed my backpack and I ran out, which is not a cool ending to an orgy story, I suppose. But I remember I told Dave Smith this story at Caroline's, like right after it happened. And he goes, I would have fucked her with him there. Who gives a shit? And I was like, I had a less cool ending to that story, I guess. But I remember in the bit, I would say I walked around, which is true. I was walking around the park in Brooklyn, just feeling like the biggest loser. And my mom really did call to see how the audition went.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, not great. But, yeah, that was a pretty humiliating story. And, I mean, shit, I'm glad nothing happened. But
it's just like, you know, in the situation, I mean, you guys are still, like, you're basically strangers. You hung out one time. So, again, like, just trying to understand, like, where her mind was at, even if she was
It's a kink, drunk, clearly.
I know, but, like, was, you should kind of cue someone in on that in order for it to work. Or if, like, during your guys' first hangout, you had discussed maybe doing that before so that, like, she knows that you'll be down for it. It's just a weird thing. Yes. To, like,
unfortunately, that was probably part of the fetish. It's got to be real, you know? But, I mean, shit, can you imagine if I did that to her? I'd be in fucking Us Weekly right now. He ruined my life. True. I mean, Jesus Christ.
So that's a bad date and a weird sexual story.
I tried to hit them both for you there, yeah.
You got it. Oh, my goodness. And it's also, it's just like one of those things, like, of course, because usually the bad dates start as the person didn't look like they did in the picture, and so you were able to check that one off because you said she was prettier than in the pictures. Like, you were killing it everywhere, and then, of course, it has to be a crazy person.
Yeah, it was a real bummer. Shit.
Oh, someone in the chat is saying it was a porn shoot. I wonder if there were cameras somewhere.
I mean, jeez. I hope so. I got a sweet lawsuit on my hands.
Like, one time, finally, someone was recording.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys, let's take one quick moment to talk about one of our favorite sponsors. And this ad, just so that you know, is only for fans over the age of 21. And it's because I want to tell you about Yo Kratom. You guys know what Yo Kratom is. It's the home of the $60 kilo. How much? $60. For what? A full kilo. That's right. If you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from Yo Kratom for $60 a kilo. If you aren't a fan of Kratom, well, then ignore this ad. The fact that Yo Kratom has high-quality Kratom for just $60 a kilo has no relevance to your life. But if you are a fan of Kratom, then it's time to stop overpaying or having to go to corner stores or gas stations to get the stuff that you like. I've told you guys this before. At Yo Kratom, they have every single kind of strain that you could possibly look for. It comes in powder, capsules, extracts, any way that you want to take it. And like I said, all different strains. My favorite one, which is a proprietary brand just from Yo Kratom, is called Trainwreck. It's a mixture of a whole bunch of different brands. That's my favorite. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoKratom.com so that you can buy directly at incredible prices. And you guys DM me all the time asking where I get it from, so here's your answer. So one more time, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. It also comes in other sizes too, but this is the best deal. All right, let's get back into it.
Okay, we're going to switch up. We're going to go over to the next segment now, which is Bad Things.
Bad Things with you.
part of the show where we talk about physical altercation, fight stories. What's a physical fight that you've been in?
Jeez, you know, here's the thing, I have bits on a lot of the things, because usually when something bad happens to me, I write a bit about it, because that gives me some of the power back in my mind, I think. If something bad happened, I'm like, well, I can make it funny, and that way I get control of the story. So this was actually my latest special, but I got a fucking pint glass broken over my head in Vermont. I guess it was like a year and a half ago. Something like that. Yeah, odd story. I was with my friend Carmen Lagala. She was featuring for me that weekend, and she's from Vermont. So we do the show, and that's a great club. I love Vermont Comedy Club. I had a great time there, and we go to some bars. Like, this is a cool bar. I was like, all right. So we're there with a couple of her friends from home, and we're just having a round of beers and just chatting. And this guy comes over to me, and he's something's off about him clearly. And he just goes, I remember he said University of Vermont, and I said, no. And he goes, master's degree, and I said, you're getting colder. And he just looked around. He goes, I want to beat the shit out of all of you. But he's only looking at me. And I'm just like, kind of like, geez, I'm just, you know, when you've just been traveling a lot and you're just like, I did a show. I'm tired. I'm just kind of like not in the mood. And he takes it. I kind of like half turn around, like, fuck off, you know, not in the mood for it. He just takes a pint glass and smashes it over my head. And it kind of shatters on my head. And I'm like, fuck. And it kind of like, it stunned me a little bit. Yeah. I'm just like, when you're not expecting to get hit and there's like glass in your head and you're kind of like on your neck and you're bleeding a little bit, you're like, fuck, all right, that was something. And I kind of stood up slowly, like, what the fuck? And the two other guys we were with stood up with me, and he just stared at us. And I had a big metal tripod in my bag, and I thought about reaching for it. But then you're also thinking, like, this is like a crazy person. Does he have a fucking gun? Is he doing that just so he could fucking shoot me? Like, I'm not... These are fucking woods people, you know what I mean? So I don't know how they get down, you know? It's like Vermont's a weird state where they're like liberal as fuck, but they all have guns. It's a weird combination. So I kind of stare him back down, and he kind of backtracks and runs out, and then he just like stares at us through the glass. So the bartender calls the cops. He's fucking hammered, this guy. They get him, and they kind of come to me to see what's going on. And I'm like trying to diffuse the situation, like, by making jokes, like what we do. So I remember the cops get there, and I said to Carmen, I was like, you know, this never happens when I bring Dina on the road, you know? I'm just, like, making jokes about it. And, like, I really did say when he left, after he hit me, I said, you all heard him call me Jew-face before he left, because it was, like, right after the Jussie Smollett thing. So I said that, and it got a laugh, and I was like, all right, well, I still got it. But so the cops get him. And because I'm trying to turn this into a hate crime, obviously, as a joke. And the cops get him, and they're like, yeah, he's fucking wasted. He went for our gun, apparently. I found this out later, because I a victim's advocate from fucking Burlington called me, and she was like, here's the lowdown. Do you want to come testify? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like calling my agent. I'm like, can you route a gig if I have to go back? And I'm like, no, I don't give a shit. I mean, I'm annoyed. My mom was furious because I was taking like Instagram videos with the cops being like, this fucking city, two more shows, you know, whatever. I was being silly about it. And she found out from my Instagram stories and was like, what happened? And I'm like, Mom, it's like, I'm okay. I definitely had at least like a minor concussion, but I'm kind of like, that night, I'm just trying to stay awake because you don't want to just go to sleep too quickly after that. Because I had a couple of drinks also when I got hit. But then, you know, I ended up, the crowds in Vermont are so good at making jokes about it throughout the weekend. I start building a bit, and it turned into a bit that's in my special. But then, you know, the victim's advocate calls me and says, he's a psychiatrist who hit you.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, clearly not a very good one. And, like, can you imagine that motherfucker's doling out advice to people? So... here's what your problem is. No, but he said basically, like they said, he went for the cop's gun. He was trying to go for suicide by cop. He didn't count on his white privilege, unfortunately. But he went for a cop's gun. They just took him down. He was going through a divorce. He was in a blackout. It's a felony to go for a cop's gun. So but then they were like, he might get his license back in like 5 years. And I was like, whatever. I mean, like,
I wonder if his wife was cheating with somebody that went to the University of Vermont.
Oh, geez, you really you're thinking about these. You think about this shit more than I do. I was just like, he's an asshole. Maybe, I don't know.
You know, I'm a girl. I overthink everything too much, but I just like to understand how and why. But it's making crazy.
But that to me, I was like, that's a weird. That was a weird story.
Did you get stitches or anything, or you just wrote it out?
I didn't. I wrote it out. The cuts weren't that bad. It was more of like a blow. I had like little cuts, but it was more like it just smashed. I was like, fuck that. Luckily, I had longer hair. I was saved by a Jufro. I mean, I really was like the cushiness of my hair really saved the day. So, that helped.
It is so thick, like a pint glass. It's not like it's something thin. Like there has to be so much force behind that. What a nightmare.
Right. Yeah. It did not feel good.
And then, so you were like stunned immediately after it happened. And then you stared each other down, but did you ever think to like take a swing, or are you immediately like, this guy is probably nuts. Let me not do anything.
I thought like, well, if I swing, the other guys with me are going to swing. And I was like, I think he wanted to get hit. And now it's kind of like dudes like that kind of scare me. Cause I'm like, well, this dude,
no fear.
So I'm like, does he have a knife? Does he have a gun? I'm very like in New York City, I'm not as scared really, but like on the road, I'm like, I don't trust these fucking woods people. I don't trust these people who are all about, especially in America right now, like everyone has a fucking gun. Mm-hmm. This isn't like people don't fight fair. He just hit me with a glass. Do you think he's like got like, you know, integrity? Yeah. I don't know.
And that was like his first attempt. It's not like a fight started and then he grabbed for a weapon. Like that's crazy.
Unreal. Yeah.
That's a good one, Sam. for whoever is listening, if you haven't seen it yet, Sam's special is called I Got This on YouTube, so go and check that out.
All right, guys, let's take one more quick little break to talk about Blue Chew. If you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. It'll help you last longer and go extra rounds. If you're a fan of Gas Digital, you know that every single dude that works at Gas Digital sings the praises of Blue Chew and fight over it when it comes to the studio. At BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And they're chewables, so they can work faster than those other pills. The chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. The online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than those other two, and it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. If you qualify, you'll get prescribed online quickly, and guess what, guys? You're going to qualify. There's no in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and no exposing yourself to coronavirus. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. BlueChew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Just chew it and do it. And we have a great deal for you guys. If you visit BlueChew.com, you're going to get your first order absolutely for free when you use promo code Shannon. That's promo code S-H-A-N-N-O-N. All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping, which is basically the cost of a cup of coffee. Once again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Shannon. Let's get back to the show.
So we're going to switch over to the final segment now, which is scary things.
Sure.
And
that last story was a feel-good story. So
yes, now we're getting deep.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show we talk about weird, creepy, possibly paranormal experiences.
I don't really have one. I don't know.
So like on your never not like a weird bump in the night thing, a coincidence of like you dreamt something, it happened, or none of that.
Well, the closest thing I have is another bit of my last special, which is like a bit about, it's a story about a vigilante who kind of saved me in Cleveland, which is the White Knight. And it was a dumb thing. It was just a weird thing for him to show up the way he did and for me to never hear from again, almost like a guardian angel. But basically, I was playing a club in Cleveland, and I was outside on 4th Street, and a club named Hilarities, which is one of the best clubs in the country. And I met this woman who was there with a guy, but they weren't dating. It was Valentine's Day. It was a whole situation. And by the way, watch my special if you want to see these stories told much better with an audience, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm just giving like the quick rundown of what happened and maybe some outside scenarios, but this guy, we kind of ditched him because he was a fucking, you know, clearly a weirdo, and he was with, they had a, there's another weird thing. So we go to the bar, me and the woman, and we were like making out and stuff. We're drunk, we're doing shots. And then we try to leave and go back to my hotel, and this guy was just outside the bar. We just, he found us again. You know, we only went like to the bar next door. It wasn't like a great, you know, wasn't a gate, a great escape route. Yeah. But basically, he like tried to, he wanted to fight me, and he looked real, another guy looked really off. And I'm like, dude, look at my frame. I can't fucking fight, you know?
You're tall though.
I'm tall, but I'm not like, I'm not a fighter. You know, it's not, that's not what I put work into. I put work in a stand up. I don't put work in a like, I'm not one of those LA guys who's like doing jiu-jitsu and shit. I'm like a New York guy who just goes to the comedy club, you know?
Maybe you should start because you get into a lot of weird circumstances.
The road, man. I mean, I'm sure my personality's not doing a ton to help me, but so, because I do like to get the last word in. So, yeah, basically this guy, basically he started shit, and I kind of was like, hey, man, I don't want to fight you, obviously. And then they left together. They had a weird arrangement, too, obviously.
What did he start shit about? Just about you guys dipping out on him?
Yeah, he was like, he basically, I remember he said, if you want to fuck her, you got to fight me first. And I was like, yeah, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm not, you know. So they kind of laughed, and I was like, good riddance, whatever. And then this guy behind me was like, I wasn't going to let anything happen to you. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? He was like in all white. He went by the White Knight. And
Wait. He referred to himself as the White Knight?
Yeah, because I was like, what are you, like a fucking vigilante or something? And he goes, I go by the White Knight. And I was like, all right. Yeah.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, but he told me, he was like a tough looking guy. He like looked like a thick, beefy, tough guy who was like ready to go. And
was he in costume?
It was like not a costume, but it was like a white fleece and like white matching pants. I think it was like weird, but yeah, he was like, that's what he did. He liked to like protect downtown Cleveland. He said that was his whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if you like, if we like Googled like White Knight Cleveland.
I've tried everything. I've told the story for a while because I was honing it for years. It was one of those things where I told a bit for a while and I was like, I don't even know how to end this. What is this? And I ended up dropping it. But then I brought it back and put it in my last special, and I ended up talking to a guy after the show. He goes, look, man, I'm from Cleveland. I know the White Knight. I was like, you know him personally? He was like, I know of him. I know that he's like real.
He's a legend.
Like, yeah. But I mean, look, he said something that really kind of freaked me out a little bit, where I was like, have you ever been hurt trying to protect people? And he said, I got stabbed once. And I was like, oh my God. And I said, was it bad? He goes, the blade neighbored my kidneys. And I remember that sentence really freaked me out, neighbored my kidneys. It sounded so official. I was like, yeah, that happened. So he seemed like a tough guy. And we talked for a while. He was very nice. And I was grateful that he showed up. So that's my closest like paranormal thing. It was like weird that he showed up when he did. And
maybe he died when the knife neighbored his kidney, and now he just lives to help people.
No.
His ghost lives on. No, all right.
He was real. Oh, maybe he might. I mean, look, no one else.
No
one else saw him. Yeah.
Maybe I just have a drinking problem, and it was a vision.
Ever since you got hit with that glass. Oh,
that was
crazy.
After, though. That was recent. Oh.
Well, the knight wasn't there to save you for that one.
No, it was such a bummer.
Oh, crazy. I forgot to read this earlier. I have one story submitted from a fan. I also have some videos. Maybe we'll go over them really quickly. We have like 10 minutes. If you have like 10 minutes, Sam.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read this bad date story real quick, and then we're going to go through these two videos. There's not a lot that happens in them, but we'll leave it up to you guys to decide what's happening in the ghost videos. So this is from Wes, and I believe it was last week we did tell his haunted house story, but this is the bad date one. Hey, Shannon and Maddie. First, I was going to hold out on the story until, Shannon, you agreed to go on a date with anyone. I was happy to hear you have a date. So for the listeners, I'm sure you already know, I had the date, but the date didn't happen. So I planned one, so I guess that was enough to have the story sent. I teased this bad date for a bit. The date was short and not really sweet. I recently got out of a shitty 3.5-year relationship, and I decided I would actively try dating. I downloaded Tinder, and in about an hour, had a girl agree to go on a date with me. The plan was to watch the sunset out on this dirty highway on the edge of town. The next day, I cleaned up and got an early dinner so I could be cleared out before the date. Fuck Wendy's. I got food poisoning and had to tell my date I was sick and would try tomorrow. She agreed. Next day, we talk all day. She now wants to go out to my new property way outside of a small town. She wants to go. Okay. I know how it's going to be received by going out so far. It's an hour before we are to go out, and she texts that she can't. So I already have a question here. He says he knows that's going to be perceived, but he also said it was her idea to go to the property outside of the town. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, the dirt road. I mean, the pandemic's really lowered the bar for dates. Like, shit. Like, who are you, Mad Max? What the fuck?
So she canceled. He doesn't remember the reason she gave, but I can't bitch. Next day, we again have plans, as it's the last day she's in town for 2 weeks. We keep talking, and we get along great. Nobody canceled, so I head out to the Walmart, as it was the only landmark in the town my property is by. She looks and acts the way I imagine, and we talk for 20 minutes before we head over to the land. She is in her truck and I'm in mine. I wanted to project the safest environment I could because I know what's coming next. I couldn't have told her more about the location so that she would have an idea. It's a 15-minute back highway drive. We get across the train tracks and I open the rusty gate to head. We open up the gate to, it says head. I walk over to her truck and tell her to follow me, and it's about 10 minutes down a dirt road. I get in my truck to go through the gate and I watch her drive off. She gets back on the highway and just sadly.
This doesn't seem like a great date for a woman. But if you use the word rusty gate on a first date, you might have fucked up a little bit.
It's great. I sadly drive to my land and smoke a blunt by myself. I've talked to her since. She said she was sorry. She freaked out and things are cool. She may even be a friend later because we've had laughs about this date. The desert here is beautiful, but for sure gives I'm burying you in a ditch if I feel like it vibe. I've been talking to a new girl who seems better, and I have another first date tomorrow. I hope it doesn't end up being bad date content. I picked to go hiking. She picked the spot, so I can't be wrong this time. I'll write the story about the haunted XOR house, which we did here. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks. And this is from Wes. Wes extraordinaire. Shout out to the chat. So, yeah, I just don't understand that in the beginning he said it was her selection to go to his property outside of town. That doesn't seem like something a girl would suggest.
Yeah.
Let's go to the most abandoned place possible.
Yeah, that's, I mean, look, it is hard to come up with, like, it's already hard to come up with original first date ideas, but also, you know, dirt road, like, what the fuck are you, what are you doing? Like, this isn't Raising Arizona, you know what I mean? Like, fucking take a walk in a park or something. Like, why dirt roads and rusty gates on your first date?
I guess he wanted to maybe show off this property, which doesn't sound like much to show off if it's like a terrifying place to be.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, is this something that I've heard, like, people say, like, guys before dates will kind of want to jerk off so that that's not in their mind. But this whole thing of, like, clearing out by eating and then pooping beforehand, is this something guys typically do?
I don't.
Not that I know of.
All right.
Pooping. I mean, I guess, like, yeah, I guess you don't want to poop on a date, but it's not like, I'm not like pounding coffee to fucking, you know, to make sure my bowels are clear. I don't know. I usually take a shower. Yeah, I'll occasionally jerk off before a date, I guess.
But not poop, huh?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. It's not on the checklist, but it's possible.
And because maybe, like, take her somewhere to eat instead of, I mean, I guess if you're broke, I don't know.
It's also a hard time for, like, because some people are very scared about, you know, the pandemic and everything and, like, you know, eating outdoors. What are people going to do in the winter on first dates? It's, like, going to be just hookup after hookup, I think, because you can't really go places in the winter if everything's shut down in the city, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, like, that date that I was saying before, I mean, we had like a day picked out, but never actually made the plans for it. But in the city right now, it's so easy. Everything, like, everyone's just sitting outdoors and doing stuff. But yeah, as far as like single people trying to do stuff when the weather changes, I have no idea. I'm going to be single forever. I have no idea what's going to happen.
It's fucking weird, right?
I guess people go to each other's houses, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to have to put those heating towers everywhere, I'm thinking.
It's going to cost a lot of money, though. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's your best bet, though.
Yeah. Damn.
All right. Oh, I forgot those videos. Do you have the videos ready, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just give a little bit of context first. So Hannah, and from Guest Digital fans in the chat, Hanwich, she's one of the hosts of the Skank Skanks podcast. She reached out to me, and she sent me some videos that her sister sent her, that she had a weird situation happen in her house. And I'm going to just read you the DMs really quick. I believe her sister's name is Melody. So my sister sent me more spooky things, backstory. She kept hearing tapping on her window, and it's high up, so it couldn't be a person unless they were standing on a ladder. She could be looking, she would be looking at the window and see nothing and still hear the tapping. So she brought her camera in and sat it right next to the window so she could catch the sound on camera and got this. I'll show one second. This is her in the video, and the dog does run in at some point, but watch the right corner of the towel she hangs over the bedpost. Can we see that video? So she's in the bedroom, which is a very fun color pink. She hangs a towel on the bedpost. You see the dog walking in. Oh, did you see it? It lifted. Did you guys see that? The corner?
How is that?
I don't know. It's weird that it lifts up. Huh. Okay, so here's the second video. Again, she set this camera up because she was hearing weird sounds. So she's actually on the phone, I think, with Hannah in this video. She turns around for a second. She's walking out the door. She walked back into the room. For the listeners who are just listening on audio, by the way, you can go to YouTube or gasdigitalnetwork.com to see the video. She walked out and in and out several times. And then the door is now kind of closing behind her. And in the message, oh, still going. Looks like it closes all the way. And then Hannah said there were no fans. There's no ceiling fans. Nothing is happening during this. Oh, yeah. Somebody also in the chat said, are there fans in the room? So she asked her and she said, there's no fans. So what do you thought, Sam?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a big ghost guy. I don't, you know, I'm not like, I'm scared of real murder. Shit. Yeah, yeah. I'm scared of like, there's so many things I'm scared of that are real that I'm just like, I'll work my way to ghosts if I have enough free time. I'm not, it's not, I don't know. I'm not a big horror movie guy even, which I know depresses a lot of people. I like certain ones, but I'm not like, I'm just not into like ghouls and goblins and ghosts and shit. It's not my thing.
So it's just something that you don't think about. Do you think it's a possibility that they exist, or are you more on the side of definitely not?
I would say probably not, but you know, like I'm sure there are people who are like ghost hunters and that's their whole fucking thing. And if they want to give me, are you into that? Is that like?
I just like to hear other people's opinions on it because like, I'm not sure, but I would like to believe that it is
that ghosts
true.
Are real.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then that indicates that maybe something else exists after this life, which I would like to believe.
Yeah, I don't believe in it. What about, what about the towel? So the towel moved or something?
Yeah, you didn't see it? It like on the corner, I don't know if Brian, if you can bring that up over time, in the corner, the corner of the towel just like lifts up really
maybe
quickly.
Maybe a ghost was pulling it so it could have period sex. That's what towels are for, right? Sex in your period? I don't know. I'm not a big ghost guy. I don't really.
look in that like corner.
Okay.
Right, the top right corner. See how it lifted?
Yeah. I see it. And they're saying there's no fan or anything. Or no?
Yeah, she said there was nothing. But yeah, I don't know. There's also like so much bullshit posted. Like I always like I'll scroll through like so many websites for looking for content for the shows that I produce, and on dailymail.com it's really like the absolute worst nonsense ever. But it's always like look at this video someone posted on TikTok of the mysterious door closing, and it's always like a very similar thing of it's like right in a spot where you can't see the corner of it, so someone's hand could be there. There was another one.
It's like a waste of time. I mean, it's not like it's like there's like real shit. It's like
exactly.
There's also, I mean, ghosts are just not Like, who gives a shit? They're not. I mean, I'm just. It's not on my mind really. But I don't know.
That's fair. And so, do you think when we die, it's just case done, energy is over, it's all finished?
That would be my guess. I think. Yeah, if there's an afterlife, great. I personally don't believe that, but, you know, if, you know.
That's fair.
I would like to believe it, but I also, like, shit, I don't know. I think it's sad because when someone dies, because we know they didn't go to a better place. Like, it's, I think that's what makes it sad.
No, I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like people are sad when people die because they're going to miss being around that person. Like, they're more sad for themselves than for the person, you know? I don't know.
I guess. I think it depends on the person. I think you're just, like, he was so young. I mean, that's something people say at funerals. I think it's like you miss out on your life. So that's why it's sad, I think, is you miss out on life. And I think most people know there's no... that you won't see them again, I think. But I mean, shit, man, I don't fucking know. I'm trying to make the most of my time here, and because it feels so damn short. But then somehow, like, how is it fucking September? Like, how have we done 6 months of this horse shit?
I know.
And how is it not close to over? Like, this is not. I am so sick of performing outdoors. I'm so sick of. Like, quality of life is important to me, and this feels like we're all living a very low quality of life. And it also feels like this is the thing we're going to be talking about to young kids when we're like, you think you have it bad. I lost a year. I had to fucking talk to people on a computer for a fucking year.
Hopefully just a year.
Hopefully.
But yeah, I was being so selfish before when we were talking about when the weather changes, and I'm talking about not being able to go on dates. But yeah, what happens with comedy?
Dude, I don't know. I part of me is like, maybe I'll just grind the next month and put out another special because I'm like, fuck it. I mean, I don't know when I get to do this again. So
I didn't watch your special yet. How did you how did you record it?
I recorded it. I hired a bunch of cameramen and I. Jason Katz and Ryan DeVere and all these great guys I worked with, and Jason directed it, and we shot it at the Comedy Cellar, and then we cut a deal with Comedy Central to put it on their YouTube. And my main thing was no ads. There can be no ads, and it's in 4K. It looks great, and I'm proud of it. I think it's a good special. And
is there no audience?
Oh no, I shot it in December.
So okay.
There's an audience. Yeah. It came out in February.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all
right. No, because I know that I think Mike Vecchione was recording something that he had to fly to California for, and it was recently, within the past couple of months, and they did have an audience, but they had to, like, go through this, like, testing process and, like, checking temperatures. And
wow, is that for Epics or something?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Yeah,
fuck. All right. I mean, you know, that's – it's. I guess it can be done, but as I said, the temperature thing is not – I would just feel bad if I did a show and people spread it. That's kind of the thing. But also, I'm sure they took precaution. I think his show was outdoors, right?
I don't remember. I think it was indoors.
Really?
I think it was indoors, and that's why they had to, like, go through this extensive process of, like, testing everybody and all that. I think he tested, like, two or three times while he was there to film it.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, I feel like we're really ending this on a bummer.
We're fucked.
Direction.
Go back to the ghosts. Yeah. No, it's bad. Yeah, it's, you know. But
well, gyms shit,
it'll be over
now.
Someday. Yeah, gyms. Yeah. Go to fucking Planet Fitness and do some leg moves. Some squats, that we're calling them.
All right, we're going to wrap. Thank you so much for... being guest on the show, Sam, for sharing
no
your
problem.
Stories.
No problem.
We're going to do a quick round of plugs. Maddie, what would you like to plug?
Just follow me on social media at Jester Skulls.
Sam, what would you like to plug?
My special's on YouTube, just called I Got This, and I got a basketball podcast called Pod Don't Lie with Stavros. It's if you like basketball, it'll be your favorite podcast without question. It's a good time. So give it a Google.
Awesome. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. And that's for free. If you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use promo code TTI, you'll get a two-week free trial plus access to all the other shows in the network. It's risk-free, so if you don't like it after 2 weeks, you can cancel it, but you're going to love it. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to leave a rating and review and tell a friend. And go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs, and the unicorn shirt is back in there now, so you can get the unicorn shirt. It's in stock. Send your story submissions for bad dates, scary things, and bad things to the thing is podcast gmail.com. And that's it. We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right.